The Super Bowl has come and went. Kansas City Chiefs are your Super Bowl champions. Now we're on to the 2024 season. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. The Ravens were so close to winning that championship. They fell a game short of that mark. Now they move on. Will they build or will they break down and start anew? We'll find out. In this episode, we'll talk all about the free agency, the coaching changes, some news that have come in the recent weeks with the offseason. We'll also have Brian McFarland, who's the salary cap expert for the Ravens via Russell Street Report. He'll come on and he'll talk all about what the Ravens have to do to fill those holes and possibly make another run for the championship. But first, what an offseason. I mean, we saw it coming. We knew. I'm not going to sit here and say the window's closed. I'm not going to say that, you know, the Ravens had that chance last year and now it's done. There's going to have to be some work being done to get back to where they were. But they lost some pieces. The Ravens have lost four coaches, assistants, they call it, to other teams. The most notable, of course, is Mike McDonald, who's now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. And what a weapon they had on that coaching staff with the way he performed on game day, the way he was able to really decipher what the offense of the opposing team was trying to do and find a way to make it work. I mean, the multiple looks that he would give in any given situation, and really the offense had a tough time, the opposing offense, I should say, of making sure that they had what they needed to do to get some yardage and possibly make some big plays. So the Ravens defense, one of the best ever to do it. Of course, they fell short of the Super Bowl, but nothing can take away from what they did, headed by that great head coach, Mike McDonald, who's now with the Seattle Seahawks. So they lose a big guy in that. There are other assistant coaches that they lost, but that's the main one that I've been focusing in on. How are they going to respond to the loss of Mike McDonald? Of course, they bring in Zachary Orr, a guy who I'm very high on. Very high on Zachary Orr, a great head coach material candidate, somebody who really had a chance to become head coach this past offseason, had some interest from the other 31 teams, but ultimately stays with the Ravens. He's going to be a great DC for sure. How he adapts, how he's able to do on game time, what his style of defense will mean for the Ravens, it remains to be seen. But I think, in my opinion, there might be a little bit of drop-off, especially in the first year or so with the Zachary Orr. But hey, I've been proven wrong before. Nobody knows defense like Zachary Orr. Nobody knows the Ravens like Zachary Orr, a guy who was a Raven as a player, came in as an intern, and now is the defensive coordinator for one of the greatest organizations in the National Football League. So the Ravens have some change there. The coaching staff has changed. Everything about the Ravens is shifting a little bit. But you still got the head coach, John Harbaugh. You still have the owner, Steve Bisciotti. You still have the GM, Eric DaCosta, and you still have Lamar Jackson as your QB. So those four pillars to any stable franchise are set in stone, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So the Ravens are still in the thick of it. I still think they're going to have a chance to make some noise in the upcoming season, but some little changes here and there. I mean, the Ravens aren't accustomed. I mean, the Ravens are very accustomed to losing DCs. I mean, I think the Ravens give up more DCs to become head coaches than any other team in the National Football League. It seems like every year there's a DC either leaving to become a DC somewhere else or becoming a head coach, either in the collegiate scene or in the NFL, or it just seems like they can't really get stable work done. And I think we all saw the writing on the wall with the way that Mike McDonald's defense was playing this past season. So big shout outs to Mike McDonald, big shout outs to them and his family, and hopefully good things to come for him in the future with the NFC team leaving the conference and going to the Seattle Seahawks. So yeah, the coaching's crazy. Zachary Orr, I'm very excited. I'm excited to see what he does. You guys saw me here all last season. I thought that, you know, McDonald was the chosen one. There were fans who were thinking, hey, maybe Mike McDonald can take the place of John Harbaugh. Maybe he can be the guy to come in and relieve him of his duties. Maybe he ride off in the sunset after a Super Bowl win and McDonald takes over. He keeps the defense humming and we move forward. But no, this is still John Harbaugh's team. Nothing's going to change anytime soon. John Harbaugh leaves when John Harbaugh is ready to leave. I know there's been some flack considering how the team performed in the AFC Championship game, and there's some validity, of course, to that criticism. But when it's all said and done, John Harbaugh is top two, top three, if you're really being picky. in the league as far as head coaches are concerned. And in my opinion, he's numero uno. So John Harbaugh definitely has his hands on things. He's going to be able to do what he needs to do and get this team back to where they need to be. But yeah, Mike McDonald's huge loss, and Zachary Orr, it's got big shoes to fill. I mean, let's be honest, big shoes to fill. If you're a coach coming in, trying to make a name for yourself, there's no better defense, no better team to be in if you're a first-time DC than the Baltimore Ravens. They got some players. Speaking of players, because not just coaching changes going on, the Ravens are dealing with massive potential losses on their team, notably on defense. We start with Justin Madubuike, who just got tagged. I mean, let's be honest. I'm not a fan of the tag. I'm player first over here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Player first, but the tag exists. They used it on Lamar Jackson last season, and looks like they're going to use it on Justin this season, and it's about a $22.1 million cap hit if this thing remains. They have until the middle of July to get a long-term deal done. That was definitely giving them some breathing room. And we'll have Brian McFarland here later on to talk about the cap space and what they can do to really wiggle their way around the cap situation to get some players in. But Madubuike had to be brought in. Absolutely had to be brought in. I mean, I had a post on Instagram earlier and I said, hey, there's some fans who want Patrick Queen to stay. But you can't have Patrick Queen and Madubuike. It's not happening. Maybe if by some stretch of the imagination they get a long-term deal done, maybe there's some cap relief that Patrick Queen gets a team-friendly deal going and stays with Roquan Smith. But the writing was on the wall for him, too. Patrick Queen is gone. He's going to make that money. Geno Stone, again, another guy, gone. Madubuike brings up a lot. Yeah, I mean, we talked about a guy like Aaron Jones, somebody who can make some plays in the middle of the field. Just a huge, huge, huge piece to the puzzle on defense, Justin Madubuike. He's going to be here for at least another season, possibly more. The Ravens have already talked about getting a deal done. They're going to try their best to get it done, and that's what they're really focusing in on as the free agency begins to take shape in the 2024 season. But They had to get Madubuike in. They had to keep him. They had to do it. He is a force. There are not a lot of players in the league who can do what he can do. Chris Jones being a guy that could possibly do that. He's a free agent. So, and we'll talk to Brian about this. Chris Jones could set the market. He could be the guy that really gives the Ravens an idea and Beeks as well an idea of what the contract should look like moving forward. So there may be some movement in that regard very shortly. And teams are going to be going after Chris Jones in a hurry because, again, there's not a lot of guys that can rush the passer in the middle of the defense the way that these guys, Beeks and Chris Jones, are being able to do. So big shout-outs to Beeks. Congratulations on that money. Hopefully they get a deal done. I hate the franchise tag. Of course, if you're a Ravens fan, you love it because you get to keep guys like Lamar Jackson and Beeks without having them see the open market. But it sucks with these players. I mean, if you're in the National Football League, PA, NFLPA, get it together. One of the things upcoming with negotiations, get rid of this franchise tag. Get rid of it. If you want to keep your player, you pay your player. That's how I see it. But this is the world we live in now. This is what both parties agreed to as far as the NFL and NFLPA. So we got franchise tags. He gets a non-exclusive. Of course, a team can come in, offer two first-round draft picks, and hope that the Ravens don't match whatever offer. I mean, we saw with Lamar Jackson, and we've seen teams a la Atlanta Falcons really suffer because of it, not taking that chance. So I don't see a team giving up two first-rounders and a huge contract for Justin, even though I think he's an amazing player. So the ball's in the Ravens' court. And also Beeks Court to get a deal done. And I think they will prior to the start of the season for sure. But Beeks not the only guy. We mentioned it. Geno Stone, a guy who had, I think, led the league or second in the league in interceptions. It's going to be tough to keep him. It's going to be tough to keep him. Patrick Queen, sayonara. Bye-bye. You're gone. Moving on to other ventures, and hopefully he gets a deal. He played very well, but you know, the Ravens are going to pick up that fifth-year option. And speaking of fifth-year options, there's another guy who's not a free agent yet, but the Ravens have a decision to make. Rashad Bateman, who hasn't been, at least statistically speaking, the guy that the Ravens thought he'd be when they drafted him out of Minnesota. Give up that fifth-year option, and he goes crazy like I think he might. We'll see. And all of a sudden, you're thinking about how am I going to pay this guy and keep Zay Flowers and whatever other decisions they make throughout the offseason this year. Maybe bringing in some more talent at receiver. Who knows? A lot of things are at stake here. A lot of decisions to be made. So Rashad Bateman, a guy who, you know, much maligned in the Ravens fan base, but the people inside the facility who I've spoken with know that he's ready to explode. He's ready to make a name for himself, but it just hasn't come together. Some people mentioned the chemistry between him and Lamar Jackson being one. I think it's more schematically what they had to do with Odell Beckham and the things that they had to do to keep both guys on the field at the same time. Some guy wasn't going to get the reads, and a lot of times Bateman was the third or fourth read in these systems that the Ravens had in place in year one under Todd Monken. So I think they're going to really focus in on making Bateman more involved, and the Ravens might have to take that chance and give him that fifth-year option, knowing that there's a good chance he'll succeed in 2024. So we'll see. They made that mistake with Patrick Queen, and it's going to cost them a linebacker. Of course, they got Simpson coming in to relieve him, and he looked good under a limited action in 2023. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very, very interesting free agency period for the Ravens. A lot of decisions they have to make. Not a lot of cap space. We'll see. Maybe they have cap space that we're not even thinking about. You know, from the outside looking in, I should say, it appears as though the Ravens are going to be very tight in the cap. But next when we have Brian McFarland on, he'll tell us maybe the Ravens have some wiggle room. Maybe some restructuring needs to be done. Maybe there's more to be seen, more in the eye of the beholder, as many say. So we'll see what the Ravens have in store. It's going to be a fantastic season. I know there's at least one player who I've heard about that will be joining the Ravens, I think. Pretty sure. That all depends on what the Ravens are able to do with the cap, but I think there's going to be one player who many fans and many pundits have been talking about that will be donning purple this upcoming season. But that, again, that depends on the cap. Depends on what happens outside of free agency. There are 31 other teams in the NFL vying for great players, and it's going to be tough to get these guys in the facility for the upcoming season. Again, when we come back, Brian McFarland, Russell Street Report, the capologist, the go-to guy. There's only one guy you call if you have Ravens cap questions, and if his name's not Eric DaCosta, it's Brian McFarland. We'll have him next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, we mentioned we have Brian McFarland, who is the capologist, the cap guru for Russell Street Report. He's really the only guy you can turn to when it comes to this stuff. And we reached a pivotal moment for the Ravens franchise in recent memory I could think of when it comes to the cap. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Welcome back again, I should say. We have a bit of a situation in Baltimore. The Ravens were a game short of the Super Bowl. It looks as though they're going to be fighting to get right back into that. But there are some key players that are going to be unrestricted free agents. And before we get started, just for the folks listening at home, I'm just going to read the list of guys who are currently unrestricted and feel free to stop me if I misspeak on anybody. But Patrick Queen is the number one guy. Matt Ibike, who just recently announced that they were going to get tagged, so he's out the picture. But we got Kevin Zeitler, John Simpson, Gus Edwards, Jadeveon Clowney, Ronald Darby, Geno Stone, Kyle Van Noy, Nelson Agholor, who recently just signed an extension, so he's staying on. But Devin Duvernay, Malik Harrison, Tyler Huntley, Brent Urban, Arthur Mallett, J.K. Dobbins, Rocky Sin, Sam Mustafa, Josh Johnson, Darrell Worley, Laquan Treadwell, Deshaun Phillips, and Tyler Ott. I mean, I guess at least 70% of those guys had significant playing time in 2023, in my opinion, or at least made a play or two that was significant in the Ravens advancing to the AFC Championship. What are your thoughts on what's going to happen with the Ravens this season?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Obviously, that's a long list of names and a lot of guys that they got probably the best years out of their career in some cases, and they got them for, Jadeveon Clowney's cap number was what, 2.25, I think, this year. Yeah, this past year. You're not getting him back for that number. And, you know, you got a career year out of him. Van Noy comes in September and, you know, gives you 9 sacks. And his was 1.7, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, that's going to be really tough. Geno Stone he came back last year after they declined his RFA tender and signed him for a lesser deal. So, I mean, he made 1.76 with some incentives after that, but I mean, that was his base deal. So, a lot of these guys, this is at the point where, and now you've got obviously Amar's contract starting to escalate. Yep. And you've got obviously Madubuike on the tag now, if they cannot get him extended, sitting there at 22.1. It's going to be tough for them. And you're going to really, this is the time you really need to draft well, because you're going to have to rely on guys they drafted last year to take the next step forward. And then you're going to have to hit on a good portion of your draft class this year. Right now they have 8 picks. They're going to need some pretty immediate contributors out of those guys.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely, because the Ravens are, there's some key guys. We mentioned Patrick Queen, but we've heard in Simpson, a guy who made some splash plays for them in limited action, come in, and they're hopeful that he can take over for them, because it looks like Queen is not going to be back because of the cap space issue.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we mentioned the cap hit for the tag that Madubuike has, that's $22.1 million. The Ravens, okay, one, I just to get your opinion on them, because many might not know, do they need to make space for it now that they announced it, or do they have until a specific amount of time, a certain time, I should say, to make that space available for them?
Yeah, they do not have to be under the cap until the beginning of the new league year, which is next Wednesday, the 13th at 4:00. So they're over, I mean, they're technically over the tag right now, or over the cap right now. But they have obviously plenty of time to do that. They'll get under the cap pretty easily. It's just what they do after that, and how much they can do after that. Understanding that there are a lot of other, you know, future expenses down the road. Obviously, signing draft picks in May, and then when you get to the season, you've got everybody counts on the cap. So your practice squad counts, your guys on IR count. Even and the guys on the 53 count. So, that's when it gets a little tougher, and they obviously the team will be mindful of those expenses. But a lot of times fans aren't realizing that, we've got these, why aren't they spending money? Well, they have $15 million on the cap at some point. They probably need that $15 million in the future for all their future expenses. So that's something that, the team will be mindful of. And that's something that they don't have to have space for at this moment, but down the road, certainly some cuts they may have to make later to get there.
Great. Yeah. So you're correct. Next week, Wednesday, is when the Ravens are going to have to get under that cap. Players and fans alike have had their input on who the Ravens could bring in, but fans especially have been talking about who they should be getting rid of. And two names that I saw recently on Twitter, and I just get your opinion on it. Ronnie Stanley, a guy who's had a back and forth year last year, and Marlon Humphrey, who didn't perform as well as some fans would have hoped. They're thinking that maybe they release them or cut them to get them under the cap, but what are your thoughts? I don't think that's a possibility at all, but maybe you might have a different idea.
Yeah, I mean, I understand because of some of the numbers, Stanley especially, and obviously he's had a harder go of it than Humphrey has. Stanley's contract's at a point that they could potentially use a post-June 1 release on him. He's due to make $15 million in cash this year, between $11 million salary and a $4 million option bonus. Roster bonus that's due on the fourth day of the league year. And I think that's going to be, that's the trigger date in a way. If they are going to do something, I don't think they would cut him. Well, I mean, if they're going to cut him, they have to cut him before that. Cause if you cut him after that, you have to pay him the $4 million. You've already paid him the $4 million,
right?
Which makes things worse. And it cuts into your savings. So there's no sense in that. Plus you just threw $4 million out the door. Right. I think that's kind of the trigger date. If they did release him, I would think they would do a post June 1, which means they would get the whole $15 million next year. If they do it prior to June 1, it's only 8.3. So it's still pretty substantial. It's just a question of whether they want to wipe it off the books this year or next year. or partly next year, so they can spread out that dead money. It would be $17 million in dead money this year and about $8 million next year. So either way, it's substantial. I think probably, and I don't know if you noticed, but the news came out today that Khalil Mack redid his deal in Buffalo and basically cut his cap number in half from about 17 down to eight and change. That seems to me like something that they may try to do with Stanley, a pay cut, keep him around, but at a lesser number, that reduce that $15 million, you know, down $7 or $8 million, put some incentives in there so he can make most of it or all of it back. And that would count against next year's cap if he does. But that's one of those things. If a guy meets his incentives, that means he played well, and you know, and was there for you, you know, when you needed him every game and things like that. So that seeming to me, that's the better approach. And with Stanley, you know, they can go to him and say, look, you know, if you don't work with us here, we're going to cut you. And nobody's giving you $15 million in cash in 2024 anywhere else. Are you going to get eight? You're going to sign a 1 year deal. You'll get a bonus, but he would even get eight as a base deal. So, or 10, you know, so the Ravens, you know, in those numbers and say, you know, we'll give you what we think, you know, you'll get on the market. Plus we'll put incentives on top. You get to stay here. You're comfortable here. We love you here, but you know, our cap's tight and we just got to figure this out a little bit. So I think that would be the approach with Stanley. Humphrey's a little more difficult because cutting him is you can't get that big savings because he's got an extra year on the deal. Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, he just went to the Pro Bowl. I know Pro Bowl's not everything, I understand, but he just went to the Pro Bowl 2 years ago. Obviously, had a down year last year, and he's, you know, seems to have lost some speed. Now, he had a lot of injuries this year, so but I don't envision them cutting him, and they can't really go to him and ask for a pay cut, because there's no leverage, because he can go out. And I think his number is only about $11 million in salary this year. He can go get $11 million in cash somewhere else.
Maybe more,
you know, maybe more. Well, right, at least. So, you know, so from that standpoint, there's no leverage to, you know, to get him to reduce his number in any way. So, and I certainly don't think they're cutting him just for the sake of cutting him to get rid of him. I mean, all you got is you got Brandon Stevens and that's it. And him at corner right now, basically, and two young, unfortunately injury prone second year, will be third year this year players in Armour Davis and Pepe Williams. So, you know, the cupboard would be especially bare, and then somebody would snap him up as a free agent pretty quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that Marlon Humphrey goes down. And I think you're right. The scenario that you made with Stanley might be the approach you go with. I think they'll have to try and get a way to restructure or cut, give him a slight pay cut or something to get his cap number down. But releasing the guy, the stature of Ronnie Stanley at this point, even though he has had a down year with no immediate guy to come in and take over for him, it just doesn't seem wise. It doesn't seem like what the Ravens do. So I don't expect that to happen. But the Ravens do have, I don't know. I'll get your opinion on it. The Ravens, I think the receiver core has been a content for conversation this year. Odell Beckham likely isn't coming
every
back.
Every year.
Yeah. And I thought that this is finally the year that the Ravens, you know, get a guy like Odell Beckham, the draft Zay Flowers. Nelson Aguilar has some splash plays, and Rashad Bateman's a guy who's been inconsistent, but he's shown that he possibly could get it done if given a full season to work with. Fans are thinking, and even the coaching staff made some comments to say that, hey, maybe they add some talent to this receiver unit. With the cap space, do you see anyone in the open market right now where you think the Ravens may be interested, or do you think that this is probably a scenario where they go into the draft looking for somebody to play?
Yeah, I think the draft is probably the more likely. And a lot of this with any conversation about bringing in an outside free agent and even re-signing some of their old guys is really going to come down to, over the next week or so, can they hammer out a deal with Madubuike and reduce that $22.1 million number? If he's there the whole year, you know, now they may have to go to use void years like they did last year. Obviously, when they were using those void years last year, Lamar was $32 million on the cap at that point. So they may have to go down that road again to bring some guys in or just re-sign guys. But, you know, if they can get Madubuike done, that you know, they, that 22 comes down to 10 or 12. So, you know, you're creating a heck of a lot of space there, which will allow them to do other things and go out on the market. I don't know, wide receiver, a veteran wide receiver. I think they can probably, I mean, I don't, right now it doesn't seem like Beckham's in the cards, but, you know, a month from now, if he's still out there on the market, and, you know, certainly after the draft, if he's still out there, depending upon what they do. But I would kind of expect, I mean, DaCosta has, you know, they did bring Aguilar back, but DaCosta has really, really, really tried to go with young wide receivers.
He's
missed a few times, you know, unfortunately, but they've certainly put their efforts into, you know, building a young wide receiver core. So I would think, and, you know, probably, obviously never how the draft is going to fall, but one of those first three picks, those first three rounds, they'll probably, even if they bring a veteran in, because it's not going to be, I mean, there's not a whole lot of great, once Mike Evans re-signed, and I don't think he was coming here anyway. Yeah, there could trade route, you know, possibly, you know, there was talk today of Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy being guys that were going to be available for trade. So, I mean, that's certainly an option. Both of those guys are a little expensive, and I don't think you want to extend. You might want to extend Sutton, but I'm not sure you'd want to extend Jeudy just yet. I think Jeudy and Lamar are real close, though, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they are. So, and there's something to be said for that, I guess. But so, you know, I don't think it might be another Nelson Aguilar kind of guy, and hope you hit a guy that, you know, is going to be consistent and, you know, good veteran presence. But I don't see them going making a big splash at receiver, at least as a veteran wide receiver.
Yeah, I've been, I don't know if you've listened to me in the past years, but I was a huge proponent for receivers in the past. And this is the first year since the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2012, where I'm saying the Ravens might want to chill out with the receiver talk, at least until they get some space in the cap and get a definitive answer who they have, a receiver, Rashad Bateman. I have one more question, and in regards to cap space, Madubuike, $22.1 million cap hit. If the Ravens aren't able to get a long-term deal done before free agency starts, do you think they'll still be able to create enough space to bring in one or two key guys? Most notably, Derrick Henry's a guy who I've heard a lot about. The Ravens, it seems like a match made in heaven. It seems like those two parties are going to collide very soon when the free agency period starts. But I think that cap hit will have a lot to do with it. Do you think they have the maneuverability to get a deal done with a guy like Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley once the free agency period starts?
Yeah, I think Henry probably, I think Barkley and Josh Jacobs are guys that are probably going to go over the $10 million a year mark. I think get Henry more for the 7 to 8, hopefully, range. Yeah, I mean, right now, first two moves, just to get under the cap, Lamar, restructure Lamar. Quarterback contracts get restructured all the time. They get extended all the time. It's just the second year of his deal. They can create $11.1 million just by restructuring him. Tyus Bowser seems like an obvious cut given the way last year played out, which obviously was mysterious, but, you know, but certainly not very happy. You could tell by Harbaugh's response, he was tired of answering the questions, and he was tired of the situation too. I think it was a blend of both. So right there between the two of them, that's $16.6 million. In savings that get you pretty close to, well, that gets you under the cap right there with a couple million to spare. So that accommodates Madubuike's tag. Then there's three other guys they can restructure, and this is without adding void years. So if they had void years, that would be more, but Marcus Williams, Mark Andrews, and Roquan Smith, restructuring those guys is about a little between 15 and 16 million. In savings right there. Now, again, they need that $15 million, you know, to set aside for future.
Right.
But, you know, there's Morgan Moses. You know, is Morgan Moses going to be back? If Stanley's back, is Stanley not going to be here? And Moses going to be here? I think it's a good chance that one of them isn't. Right. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised at all the talk about Moses in a way. I mean, his cap number is, you know, a little over six million, or between 6 and 7. He's not expensive for a starting right tackle. He's not a Pro Bowler or All Pro, but I thought he was solid enough in this offense. But
me too.
But you know, you gotta, you know, when you got a tight cap, you've got to make some tough decisions. Patrick Ricard's another name, Patrick McCarry, other names where there's some cap savings, decent cap savings, four and about 4.6 for McCarry. So, I mean, they have options there. Now, some of those guys, they might want to extend to lower their present cap number. Ricard seems like a great guy to extend. If you can cut that cap number down by two as opposed to four by cutting him, I think it's a pretty good compromise, and it works for both sides. Got to come to numbers that everybody agrees to. So, so from that standpoint, they've got moves. So I do think they have one medium-sized move. They're not going out and signing a $20 million player. I mean, that's Bedabike. That's already been done, basically.
Exactly.
But I think they've got enough flexibility. And again, if they're stuck with Matabike there, then they probably will go back to using void years. They know better than we do, but obviously nobody expected the cap to go up by $30 million this year. If the anticipation is it's going to go up by 25 to 30 next year, then those void years aren't going to hurt as much probably in the future as we thought when they were doing them last year, when we were looking at, $10 to $15 million increases in that cap. So so I think they've got one swing, and Henry certainly seems like that one. But then, you've got to get edge rushers back. And, do you want to, get Darby or Mallette back, guys like that? They're not going to be super expensive, but both of them are, at least the two corners are, well, they're all four of them are due for kind of raises between the two edge rushers and the two corners. So they've got a lot of work to do, but they can get a decent amount done. It's just they've never been a big outgoing outside for the outside on the market and signing top free agents. They do every couple years, they do one, Marcus Williams being the most recent one. So, but there, I would agree, there seems to be a lot of smoke around Henry. So we'll see if it plays out that way.
Yeah, I've a lot of smoke. Some things I've heard through the grapevines that just, I'd be shocked if he doesn't come. So that's all I'll say about that. But one more question, I forgot to ask you this. This year, as we talked about, it having been a very cap-centric year where we're really tight for the cap and have to make some moves. The following year, is there some trouble brewing with that year as well, or have the Ravens done enough this year where that might not be much of an issue in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be next year. I mean, if Stanley's here, he's probably one that will come off the cap next year, or they'll again rework the deal in some way, because that would be his last year of his deal.
Yeah.
After this year, Humphrey has 2 years. That's another one that they would probably, Moses will be off the books. He will be a free agent. There are a couple other guys that are going to be free agents. So, and Lamar's contract goes up a lot, but again, that's where you restructure. Mm-hmm. First 2 years of every quarterback's contract seem to get restructured. Now Lamar's fourth year of his deal, the cap number is 72 point something million.
Oh God.
And that's going to go up if they restructure him this year and next year, but, that's probably, again, that's where they get to the point where they build these contracts that way. It's a 3-year contract. And then we're going to extend you and spread that money out again. And 3 years later, I mean, if you think about Aaron Rodgers deal and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, that's what they were doing every couple of years. They were restructuring them. When you get to the end of that, as we saw with the Saints and all three teams, actually, mm-hmm. they had a tough year rebuilding their cap. But these days with the cap going up so much, it doesn't take 2 or 3 years to get out from under that. If you want to just say, okay, we're going to take that pause year, maybe they do that in the middle when they redo Lamar's deal for a year and bring it down, 3 years from now, 2026 or 2027. They might do a little bit of a reset and redo his deal and then kind of clean up the cap and move on from there. But as long as they draft well, you're going to have Brandon Stevens going to be a free agent after this year. Mm-hmm. If he has another year like this, he's going to be the guy looking at the franchise tag next year, probably.
Yeah.
Right off the top of my head, there might be somebody else, but he's probably the most likely candidate if he follows up with another strong year.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. It's good to know at least that they seem to have a pecking order, a plan in place to the cap situation. And fans are very, You know, they're very cautious of that going forward. And, you know, the Ravens don't make a lot of moves, like you mentioned, outside of the facility most times. So cap's not going to be too big of an issue, I think, in 2025. Well, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
You have been a very good help. I've learned some things today. And if I've learned some things, it's most likely the fans have learned some things as well. So much appreciated for you coming down. Let the folks at home know where they can find your stuff.
Sure. So I'm on Twitter. I keep saying Twitter, X, at Raven Salary Cap. Anytime news breaks, as long as my real job isn't pulling me aside, I try to get the information together, the numbers together as quickly as we have something to make sense of, I guess we'll say. And then my articles are on RussellStreetReport.com. We have a big collaborative, a couple of the other writers and I will have a big article coming out Friday or Monday, kind of our free agency. I mean, obviously, we've talked about free agency for months now, it seems, but yeah. That article will come out. And then obviously, you know, when and if there are big contracts, Matt Vige gets a big contract and we need to break it down year by year, we'll put an article out there as well for that, those kinds of things. And then the draft, same thing, when start signing draft picks, same kind of thing.
That's awesome, man. I'll be on the lookout for that article in a couple of days. Appreciate you again for coming down. When we come back, we'll have final words about the free agency period, and we'll get my thoughts on what's going to happen next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, that was Brian McFarlane, Ravens salary cap guru. He wrote the Russell Street Report. Love those guys over there. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, nobody knows the cap situation more than Brian. Well, you heard it. The Beaks franchise tag. Huge hit. There's going to be some maneuverability, some restructuring done to make space for that move and hopefully another move. And I mentioned it early in the show, but you heard it when speaking with Brian. I fully expect the Ravens to make a push for Derrick Henry, and that matchup nightmare for opposing defenses cannot be understated. I mean, the Ravens have had guys like Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins come in, and they're more lighter, I guess you can say. I mean, nobody's Derrick Henry, obviously, but the skills that Derrick Henry has will force defenses to make a choice. It's not going to be just about scheme. Oh, who's going to get the ball, Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson? It's if Derrick Henry gets the ball, we're screwed. If Lamar Jackson has the ball, we're screwed. So it's really going to put the onus on the defense to find a way to stop both of those guys. And oh, yeah, we still have Zay Flowers, an upcoming rookie, and Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor, and who knows who else comes in for the Ravens in 2024 to come in and make a name for themselves. So the future is bright for the Ravens offense. I think it's more so the defense that we need to be concerned with. Well, I guess you could say the offensive line might be a concern because we mentioned Ronnie Stanley. Will he be cut? Will he not be cut? I'm leaning towards him not being cut. But as you mentioned, Morgan Moses and Ronnie Stanley, the likelihood of both of them being back in 2024 based on what we heard from Eric DaCosta a few weeks back and John Harbaugh, seems unlikely. They need to really move out of that realm of the Greg Roman style of offense where they had these big, beefy guys pushing the line back to more nuanced offensive linemen, guys who are quicker on their feet, guys who can pull and make moves post-snap in a couple of seconds and get enough time for Lamar Jackson to do what he has to do with those passing lanes. So there's some changes coming, and it's going to be very interesting dealing with that cap space, how the Ravens do it. All likelihood, looks like it's going to come via draft where there's very top-heavy talent within the first three rounds of the draft. So the Ravens have a lot of decisions to make. It's why I think that the Ravens don't move towards the receiver position. But again, with the Zay Flowers situation, which seems to be coming to a close, we'll know more later on. Of course, the NFL and the Ravens are both investigating. But based on what we've heard from the Baltimore County Police Department, doesn't appear as though Zay Flowers will be seeing any trouble whatsoever. Definitely doesn't appear to be that case right now. But, of course, as more information comes forward, we'll talk about it. And perhaps Zay Flowers is in more trouble than we think. But right now, it looks as though the receiver position is safe with Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and Nelson Agholor. And we'll see what the Ravens do, either via draft or a veteran that comes in to take the place. But the position's solid. The Ravens need help at guard and tackle very badly. Besides the one guy to have a center, they do not have a very solid base of talent at the offensive line, and that's going to be a huge problem for the Ravens moving forward. On the defensive side, Justin Madubuike is definitely the guy they're going to keep, but you got Patrick Queen who's going to be seeing other teams. He's not going to be back with the Ravens. Geno Stone's gone, so that's one more depth piece at safety that's going to be gone. They don't have any corners. Ronald Darby, Arthur Mallette, both free agents. I'm sure they're going to find a way to bring at least one of them back, but that's that's some deficiency on the depth side of things with Zachary Orr coming in. And, of course, we had the DNs, Kyle Van Noy, Jadeveon Clowney, two guys who had huge impacts on the Ravens' defense this season, both free agents. Can they bring them back with that limited amount of cap space? It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see. It's going to be interesting to see. I know Brian's going to be very busy. The Ravens are going to have a lot of work to do. I trust Eric DaCosta completely. This is not going to be an Eric DaCosta bash fest. You will not see me bash Eric DaCosta at all. After what he did with Lamar Jackson last year, and what he's continued to do via draft, not being afraid to bring in talent, even if it means bringing in receivers in the first round year after year to give Lamar Jackson those pieces to work with, he could do no wrong, in my opinion. He's going to do what he has to do. I'm sure that scouting team and that front office is going to do what they have to do to get this team ready for 2024. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. But thanks again, guys. It's been a crazy, crazy year in 2023 and 2024. It looks like there's going to be a lot of questions in the answering. We'll see. The free agency period begins March 13th, Wednesday. It's going to be a slobber knocker. If you're a wrestling fan, you get that reference. And then on to the draft. So we'll see what happens. Again, thank you again for joining us at the Ravenstock Podcast. We'll be back once free agency period gets in the way and the draft begins. We'll have guys come in. We're going to get a player or two in here to talk about the season in the past and look forward to what's going to happen in 2024. But again, this is the Ravenstock Podcast. I appreciate you guys again for joining us. We'll see you soon.